and it's titled Report on the Exploration. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruits. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Let's pray for Bob and ourselves as he comes up. Father God, thank you for Bob. Thank you for what he's prepared this morning. We pray that as he speaks to us, it will be your words coming through into our lives, and that you, by your Holy Spirit, would transform us this morning. Amen.
Joshua chapter 3 verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Don't go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Today we're continuing our series where we join the people of God on the wrong side of the river, looking over into the promised land, the place of God's blessing. And we're asking the question, what do they need to be in order to get across, to succeed where the previous generation had failed? Now, you might remember the first week that we started this series, we looked at the need to be a spiritual people. That is, a people who look for what God is doing and then join in with it. We thought about the need to be a prepared people the next week. A people set apart for God, linked to God, secure in who they are in Him. And today, we're going to focus on being a risk-taking people. And I want to draw your attention to the name of a risk-taker. You probably caught his name in the reading. His name is Caleb. But first, I want to wind the clock back from the verses in Joshua. I want to wind the clock back by 40 long years, when we join the people of God the first time round, when they looked across the river into the promised land. And that's where our reading this morning came from. Because we're told in Numbers chapter 13 that Moses, who was of course the leader at that time, first time round, Moses, he told the people to send out key leaders. These were leaders. These were important people in the various tribes. They would go out, have a look at the promised land, and see what it was like. Bring back tales of what this promised land of blessing where God is calling us. What's it like? And then we get the reading. That's the reporting back of those spies who Moses sent out, those leaders who were sent out to spy out the promised land. Numbers 13:26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. It's all true. It was just as God said it was gonna be. A land of blessing, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was just how God said it was gonna be. You see, we can always take God at his word. As it says in Isaiah 55:11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We can take God at his word and we can believe him in his promises. Because, of course, we have to remember that the power of a promise is linked to the ability of the one making it to deliver it. The power of a promise is linked to the ability of the one making that promise to deliver on it. Sometimes, very occasionally in Africa, we used to have power cuts 2 or 3 times a week and the whole church would be plunged into darkness. You know, I wonder if at tonight's service, when it was dark outside and we were relying on the lights inside, suddenly the power went and the lights went off. I wonder how you'd feel if I then came up here onto this platform and said, "Let there be light." I wonder what you'd think of that. You wouldn't place much store in it, would you? Unless actually it wasn't a power cut and a fuse, and perhaps I got up there after I knew that Al had just changed it. And yet, once, when darkness was all there was, God said, "Let there be light." And it was so. It reminds me of a time in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 4, when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus. Do you remember? And that tremendously scary storm blew up. And these were hardened fishermen in the boat, so they were frightened for their lives. So this was some storm on that day. Let me just quickly read that to you. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. That day, when the evening came, he said, that is Jesus, said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also others in the boat with him. A furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet. Be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." "Who is this?" Answer: this was the same voice that had once said, "Let there be light." It was the same voice. Jesus had said, "Let us go over to the other side." He said it. And upon that, it was settled. That's where they were going. If they were going under the water, on it, or flying over the top, they were going to the other side because of who said that. God, who had made a promise to them, could deliver on it. Their problem in the boat on that day was, of course, they didn't fully realize who they had in the boat with them. That was their problem. And I wonder this morning if you realize, if we realize, as we sail along this funny old life, that we've got Jesus in our boat. I wonder if you ever stopped to think that. We've got Jesus in our boat. And it's as well sometimes just to stop and to remind ourselves of that. Or we can end up living life in fear and worry and stressed out, when the truth is, my friends, if we've got Jesus in the boat of our lives, it will get to where he wants it to go. Because of who he is. And it's exactly the same dynamic with crossing the Jordan River. The Lord had said that they were going to go over to the other side to possess the land. And as soon as God had said it, it was settled. It's just that they didn't believe it. Even though when they went over to take a look at the land, they found that it was all that God said it was going to be. Even though they realized that bit was true, they still couldn't stretch their faith to grab hold of the rest. They gave this account to Moses. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. But. How that little word but has robbed people and churches of experiencing all that God has for them. Those three little letters. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large, and we even saw the descendants of Anak there. You see, first time round, the people of God began to focus on the size of the task and the difficulties and the troubles, so much so that they forgot the promise in verse 2. Here it is. The Lord said to Moses, verse 2, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. It's the same voice that said, let there be light. It's the same voice that said to those disciples in that storm, let us go over to the other side. Send some men to explore the land which I am giving. There you have it. God says it, and it's settled. It will be so, because of the ability of the one making the promise to deliver on the good. It's God. Their problem is they'd started to focus on the problems and on their own ability. Their own ability to overcome the obstacles. And of course, that's when it gets scary. Verse 33. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. These are giants. We seem like grasshoppers. We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes. And we looked the same to them. Do you see, suddenly it was all about them. God had made the promise, I am giving you this land. They focused on the problems, and in the way they say what they say, you can see that the focus has shifted away from God. He doesn't figure in what they say when they get to the scary bit. We saw them, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Suddenly, it was all about them, and God had disappeared from the picture. So yes, actually, they were right. Looking at it from that point of view, they couldn't do it. Absolutely. No, they couldn't. It was impossible. It was even laughable. But then, It's laughable that a shepherd boy should slay a giant, isn't it? It's laughable that a man who found it difficult to talk would defeat the armies of Egypt, isn't it? It's laughable that the sound of praise should cause the walls of Jericho to come tumbling down. And what foolishness it is that God could be born as one of us, die, and then 3 days later rise from the dead. Yet we stake our future on it, don't we? That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what makes us Christians. The truth is that when Jesus is at the helm of the boat, it goes where he says, whatever the weather. The problem is that although these leaders who were sent to spy out the land had received that promise of God, they had allowed their focus to be shifted elsewhere, and they lacked the faith to lay hold of the promise. It was just too risky. And I believe God calls us to be a risk-taking people. A faith-focused people. It's a risk, but I would put it to you this morning that it's a calculated risk. Because the task is set against who God is and what he can do, and not just us. And that is where Caleb comes in. He's not mentioned much in the Bible, but I love him. I've never met him. Maybe one day I'm going to meet him. I can't wait. I love this man. So they've all said that about the giants, and we can't do it, and help, and let's just turn around and forget about it. And Numbers 13, chapter 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. What a difference. How can he be so sure? He's seen the same giants there. How can he be so sure that he could say, after what everyone else has said, actually, we should go and do it because we can. It's all there in Numbers chapter 14, starting at verse 6. I'll read it to you. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land. So Caleb had gone out, he'd seen everything that everyone else had seen. They tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing of milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of that land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Do you see that pronoun change from we to he? That just small change of the pronoun from we to he makes the world of difference. Totally transforms the picture. How did people react to their speech? They reacted by thinking about stoning them. That's what they thought of Caleb's idea. They thought about stoning him. And although the Lord forgives them for this, they miss out on a real blessing that generation. Numbers 14:20, the Lord replied, I've forgiven them, as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised their forefathers. But my servant, verse 24, Caleb, has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Caleb's attitude was very simple. God has said it, God can do it, so I'm going to act on it. That's Caleb's attitude. He heard God's word, he believed God's word, he kept his focus on God's word, and he was prepared to act on God's word and take a risk. He was prepared to step out in faith. What happens to the rest? Well, we're told they have to go round the desert again. 40 years of going round the desert again. And that's often the way that I found in my life to be true, at least. That when we refuse to obey God and to step out in faith, he takes the pressure off often. And yet, it seems a few years later that we've gone round in circles. And though it's not quite the same situation, it's like the same sort of things being asked of us by him. No, then we go round again. No, then we go round again. Okay. The question is, how many times do you want to go round? How many times do you want to go round in circles to face the same thing with the same question? What happens to Caleb? Well, he goes round in circles too. He doesn't build a hotel by the river and wait for 40 years. He goes back into the desert with the people of God. And that's a very long time for someone who believed first time round. 40 years is long enough for a whole generation to die out, and so they did. And it's long enough for Caleb to become very, very old. What happens to him? Well, we join him as an old man, second time round, stood on the banks of the Jordan River. He's still there in Joshua chapter 14. Let me read that to you. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then," verse 10, "just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since that time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. And I'm still as strong today as the day when Moses sent me out. And I'm still just as vigorous to go out and battle now as I was then. So now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out." Just as he said. And Joshua blessed him. 40 years later, Caleb was still taking God at his word. He was still believing the promises. What a guy! What a guy! We don't hear much more about Caleb. Oh, apart from one thing that perhaps I should mention. A little while later, do you want to know what old man Caleb is doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's fighting giants. That's what he's doing. He's fighting giants. Joshua 15:13. In accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion in Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the forefather of Anak. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, the descendants of Anak. Let loose with the promise of God, old man Caleb was fighting giants. Oh yes. Do you remember what they said? But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. We seem like grasshoppers. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the descendants of Anak. He didn't mess with them. And they didn't mess with God. He drove them out. So I wonder this morning, what giants you're facing in your life. What problems dwarf you? What mountain are you facing you think you can't climb? Problem you can't solve? Obstacle you can't get away around? What sin can't you overcome? I want to encourage you, my friends. God's word is true. His promises are dependable. His presence is assured. His grace is sufficient. His power is available, and the outcome is settled. So let's step out. Take a risk. Push out the boat. Because, my friends, if Jesus is in the boat, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Let's pray. Lord God, when we look at the things we must face, the things that we believe you want us to do, in our own lives and in the life of your church here, we're not sure we can, but we are sure that you can. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to your word, that your promises are trustworthy and true, and that your power will just see us through. Help us to take that risk, for it's a calculated risk on who you are. And we thank you that yours is the voice that once said, "Let there be light."